It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Futures start the week with a bounce as the Chinese premier cites substantial progress in trade talks. Buckle up for a busy earnings week. Got a quarter of the S&P reporting in the coming days. What a weekend in the UK. The pound's trying to hold $1.30 after Parliament's vote. And the 10-year 178 is about a one-month high. Our roadmap begins with new pressures for Boeing, downgrades at Credit Suisse and UBS today. Some renewed congressional scrutiny. Shares tumbling 10%. In the past week.
Plus, opioids on trial in Ohio for drug companies reaching a last-minute settlement ahead of what was the landmark first federal opioid case.
And Mark Zuckerberg speaking out, why the Facebook CEO tells NBC News, quote, it's more important to be understood than it is to be liked. Shares of Boeing are under pressure, having its worst day in more than 2.5 years, losing almost 7% Friday. As we said, Credit Suisse and UBS both cut the stock to neutral from buy today. Boeing remains under scrutiny following the revelations of those emails from 2016, which called into question the safety of the 737 MAX jet's flight control system. The board met over the weekend, expressed regret over the message, continuing to investigate. Dennis Muilenburg is scheduled to testify at House Transportation next week. Reuters suggests that this board meeting in Texas may consider things like job cuts and some other kinds of trimmings to spending. But worst day, Jim, on Friday than any day since the MAX was an issue to begin with.
Well, I think that's because Wall Street thinks that Muilenburg bagged them. The narrative had been, to be very specific about this, the narrative had been that the reason why that you could not, they had not have a chance to defend themselves was because the government wouldn't let them. And if the government had would not hamstring them, we would find out the truth, which is that Boeing had very little to do with this, and that the FAA, a little more emphasis on them, and that Boeing wasn't pressured. Boeing did everything right. And when the truth came out and the emails came out and everything came out, we would feel that way. Well, there we go. It all came out. And I was wondering, why did they fight this? Why didn't they break this so early? And I think, and this is what Wall Street felt. And the answer is because sometimes you just get had, Carl. Wall Street got had. And so this is what happens when Wall Street got had. They come out hard against because they felt that, they felt like I did, that when you see all the emails, you're going to see it was a, it was all about safety. Well, it was the wrong way.
I'm confused. You're saying the pilots in this, in these messages?
No, I'm saying that it turns out that when we looked at the internal messages, there were people who were very concerned. That there were people who felt, you know what, this is being, that we're not doing this right. There was a, that very critical message, of which the New York Times said the guy said he lied. He didn't. What the message really was like, now that I know the truth, I guess I lied. You know, you could have said, I guess I was ill-informed. Yep. But this is the most, this is the reason why Wall Street is so negative has much to do with once we found out the truth and Boeing wasn't hamstrung, we would know that Boeing was a good actor. And I think that Wall Street stunned because it turns out that you could argue with this, but that Boeing wasn't a good actor once we saw the emails. So the idea was once Boeing's free to tell its story was a good one. That, I think, is no longer true. Mm-hmm. I think that once Boeing was free to tell the story, it turns out the story wasn't that good.
So is any of this penalty because of a, are they predicting an even further delay to return to service?
Well, I think it's really important that Boeing take action, which distinguishes, listen, all that's in the past. Remember, you know what's really interesting? We have not heard a word about how they've got triple redundancy. We've not had a word about how the plane is safer than ever. We not have a word that, or maybe that the pilots should do simulation, but the plane is better than ever. Now we're trapped into what the heck happened beforehand. It's so important for Boeing to get ahead of the story. Boeing has been behind in this story from day one. Now's the time to say, you know what, we made mistakes. The new plane is good. We're ready to ride it. You can decide that we may have done everything wrong beforehand, but the new plane is safe, and the focus should be on the new plane. But no, now the focus is on the old situation.
Well,
that is really incredible.
We're going to get Southwest on Thursday. American also reports this week. It matters what they think, too.
Yeah, well, I think, look, Gary Kelly has distinguished himself from day one as someone who came right here and said, you know what, I'm going to take it up privately with Boeing. By the way, Boeing is a great American company being run badly. There's a great American company that has some faults about the way things were done ahead of this. They can no longer deny that. See, this is one of those things where if you're sitting back and you're saying objectively, I believe in Boeing no matter what, like me, like I did, I was wrong. I believe no matter what. But I got that wrong.
By the way,
all the analysts are in the same boat that I was.
When it comes down to their ability to service a market that is still growing, certainly in certain areas, and the fact that there is a duopoly, and that their chief competitor probably can't make any more planes than they already have committed to deliver, will any of this matter?
Well, that's the, you know, right now, Boeing is so ill-advised in their strategy. Boeing has the chance right now to be able to say, this is what Muhlenberg should say right now, which is that, okay, look, we screwed up. But then, obviously, there's liability, and they don't want to say that. But that's, again, classic stupidity. You always have to say, we screwed up. That's the whole lesson of America, the whole lesson of the way America treats you. You admit that you're wrong. You apologize. And then you say, we really have to focus on going forward. And going forward, our planes are the safest in the air. Why they can't do that, I don't know.
Well, maybe because the lawyers. The lawyers are open.
Well, who gives a damn about the lawyers?
Well, the lawyers are in there
saying,
you're going to admit liability, you're going to open yourself up to this risk, that risk. That's typically when there is an inability to say something that we all think is obvious, it's because the lawyers are telling them not
to. Well, yeah, if you want to run it by the lawyers, you might as well just shut down, because you're never going to get it.
That's what a lot of companies
do. Well, it's stupid. We all know that.
Reticent. Well, and correct use of the word, by the way, reluctant to speak, because lawyers tell them never to speak.
And so let's think about when the lawyers have been right. Exactly. Not. This is a great American company. It's being run wrong, or being run by lawyers, being run by people who are saying, listen, let's think about the past. Let's deal with the past. They should just show every single email and just be a great American company they are.
Well, then does the board have to do more than take away the chairmanship?
It sounds like you want to see Muhlenberg go.
I don't really care. I've been had. So has every firm that downgraded it today. We all got the same damn memo, which was there is nothing in the emails. And when that comes out, you're going to say
it was messages. It was text. Okay.
Text message.
Be specific.
Well, maybe it was Snapchat. Hey, maybe it was WeChat. Maybe it was Zucker chat. All I can tell you is we've all been had. All those analysts are about being had. They all got the same memo. They did. You think I was any different? You think that my work produced anything different from Credit Suisse? Nah. Here. Bank of America, downgrade. UBS, downgrade. Credit Suisse. You know why this is? Because we all got told, don't worry. Don't worry. Now they have to, Boeing, listen to me. Not that you would, but you ought to. This is the time to make a clean break with the past, screw the lawyers, you got Feinberg in there, and tell people the truth, which is that your new plane is safer than anyone. But no, you've lost control of the narrative the day that the second crash occurred.
Well, we're going to see Muhlenberg on the Hill, as Congress is now part of the dynamic. Speaking of liabilities, four drug companies reached a last-minute settlement to avoid the nation's first federal trial over the opioid crisis. At the moment, Walgreens is the only defendant that did not reach that deal. Meg Terrell's in Cleveland covering all this. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning, Carl. Well, the jury had been selected. The courtroom is packed, and in less than 10 minutes, this trial here in Cleveland, it's over. These four defendants reached a settlement with just these two counties in Ohio late last night, midnight, 1 a.m., the judge just saying in the courtroom behind us. That's according to our producer, Harriet Taylor, who was in there. There was Walgreens, who was the fifth defendant, hadn't reached a settlement. However, they are being severed from this trial, and they're going to move on to what comes next here. No trial today. This is just a settlement with these two counties. It's not a broader settlement in the thousands of opioid cases that have been brought against industry seeking to hold them accountable for the opioid epidemic. They have been consolidated into a federal multi-district litigation, which is centered here in Cleveland. We are hearing that there potentially may be news coming later today from state state attorneys general, which could speak to a potential broader settlement. However, the numbers we're seeing this morning just pertain to these two counties. The Washington Post reporting it's about $260 million, $250 million in cash from the three big distributors, McKesson, AmerisourceBergen, and Cardinal Health, about $20 million in cash from Teva, plus another $25 million, the Washington Post reports, in anti-addiction medications they will contribute here. We are waiting to see the exact details that we'll get, and we'll bring them to you. No trial happening here today. There are a lot lined up potentially later. No dates yet set for what we'll see the next federal case here in this multi-district litigation, guys. Back over to you.
It's David. A couple of quick questions. So Walgreens doesn't settle, but they don't have to go to court as of now as the only defendant in this current litigation, correct?
That's right, David. Walgreens, of course, is a pharmacy, and they were sort of considered the most ancillary defendant here to the county's municipalities' cases. The case is really centered around drug companies and then distributors. So having Walgreens as the sole defendant just didn't seem to make sense here.
I see. And then, again, the global settlement that we've sort of heard might be close, as much as $48 billion, including a lot more companies than just the ones we're looking at. You're hearing that that still remains a possibility?
We don't know yet what we're going to hear from the state attorneys general later today. We are expecting to hear something. We had heard last week that a settlement from the three distributors, as well as Teva, plus Johnson & Johnson, was totaling up to $48 billion. That included $22 billion in cash from the distributors and J&J. J&J contributing $4 billion, and Teva contributing all drugs and services worth about $29 billion. But analysts I spoke to said they were a little iffy on the valuation of those drugs and services from Teva. So we'll have to see what we hear from the states later today.
All right, Meg, thanks very much. Obviously complicated situation as industry tries to get a toll on what's obviously a wave of potential litigation.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I follow J&J closely, and J&J, which chose not to settle in a previous case, obviously wrong strategy because they lost, they have to pay a lot. J&J, I was still trying to get my arms around talc. Can't.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about it a bit this weekend.
Well, because I was going through what was said on Mad Money about it by Alex Gorsky saying, There's just no asbestos in talc. Now, I don't want to get conflated to two stories, but the plaintiffs on opioid have the United States on their side. And so you want to settle wherever you can settle, because otherwise there isn't a jury in the world that doesn't want to take you to cleaners. I don't really care how good you think your defense is and whether you think you can win. This whole strategy of losing in the lower court and winning the appellate court, that makes you a law firm, not a drug company. And it's this kind of thing that these companies were correct to settle. But once you settle, I mean, look, the rap is once, and 3M's got the same problem with water. Once you settle in one place, you got to settle everywhere. So I think you have to recognize whether it's 3M and despoiled water, whether it's these companies and 400,000 dead, whether it's talc and that there actually is a level to have a level of asbestos, of which the WHO says any level is no good. These are all really bad set of facts. And all these firms refuse to recognize it's a bad set of facts. They keep talking about how, don't worry, the law's in our favor. Well, you know what? America's had it with these guys. And so you may think that there's an impartial jury, but I'm now wondering whether there's an impartial appellate court.
Impartial meaning?
Meaning that, like, they read the papers, too. By the way, if we had a President Elizabeth Warren,
I was just going to mention this. We haven't gotten to Warren
yet. I don't
yet.
Think it would stop at juries. I think it would be show trials. You disagree?
Not necessarily, no.
No. I mean, she's talking about show trials for the drug banks. I don't think people have to start recognizing what's really going on in this country and how there's a surge of populism, not unlike what's going on in Chile, not what's like going on in Spain, not what's going on
You're
in
You're not Britain. Excusing the practices that led us to this point on talc potentially or opioids or, your complaints with the legal system, not with the companies.
I just think the legal system is not in the favor of capitalism right now. And you may think that there's a Well, I keep thinking about
that. Is there no behavior bad enough that can be prosecuted?
Be held accountable for 400,000 people in this country dying because have you seen the numbers into these counties?
I'm saying the legal system. I'm saying the legal system is saying, listen, I don't really care about your defense. You're losers. So you might as well settle and pay. That's what I'm saying.
Well, sometimes that's because they're guilty.
Well, no. You settle when you're guilty. You see, they don't sue them unless they can win, because they.
And I understand the plaintiff's bar and a lot of these. Are
no,
the same
I'm saying that.
Certainly
I am saying they are guilty. I don't really care that it was the doctors that pushed it. I don't really care that there were that it was Purdue that pushed it, like the books say. You know what? You should have stopped.
Yeah.
Guilty.
If you were ethical.
How about if you're trying to make a profit, David?
There's that too.
David,
if
you're
trying to make a profit and not kill people.
You're trying to make the damn quarter, and suddenly you're talking about something.
Oh, my God.
David, these companies, you ought to miss the quarter. You're fine with that?
We need a sarcasm font on the bottom of the screen. Yeah. We'll get Cramer's Matt Dash countdown to the opening bell. Take another look at the pre-market. Lots of calls today. We haven't gotten to a IBM downgrade, new street high target on Apple, a ton of initiations on Peloton. Don't go away.
First Mad Dash of the week as we get you ready for an opening bell a little less than 12 minutes from now here at the New York Stock Exchange. Amazing how many people watch this show and have no idea where it comes from. So
well,
I'd like to remind them.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah. All right. What do we got as a Mad Dash?
David, when you bring an equity offering and it breaks the price very quickly and breaks the print, that usually means that it was priced wrong or the deal's overvalued, right? Well, Peloton, which was one of the worst of the IPOs and very important in terms of the unraveling of the whole going forward IPOs. This morning, almost every firm comes out and says buy. I'm going to pick one, Canaccord, because I think it tells the best, which is that pop-up shop at Maltz, Short Hills, where I bought my wife, the one that is very good to hang up her laundry. And it says, we expect strong growth ahead of the company's unique, convenient, in-home, connected fitness model. David, they continue to say, the bulls continue to say, it's an ecosystem. The market doesn't regard it as that, but maybe today everybody feels better about Peloton. But it's all on board. David, a series of lockups are expiring. By the way, the first, right near the beginning of November, the Uber.
Yes.
That's a kind of a big.
It's a big one.
Big
Leslie Picker's done some good work on that.
Absolutely, Leslie's done great work.
Upcoming. Lockups.
Right.
You never know with those. I feel like you can't necessarily, in retrospect, we can always look back and say, oh, look, of course.
Right. I mean, it turned out.
The stock went down. Meanwhile, sometimes
it brings
they don't respond that way.
Right. And people are short ahead. Yep. But, you know, maybe Peloton's the one to watch because all the underwriters need something good in order to be able to dump a lot of more crummy merchandise on us, because that seems to be their role. Look, David, the unicorns are in charge because there's so much money involved for the brokers. I mean, you go over the previous quarters, they need unicorns to be able to offload on suspecting clients. And so let's watch Peloton go up. Peloton goes up, then they'll be able to reload really crummy deals and dump them on our heads. By the way, a lot of people feel WeWork was a really kind of a sea change.
I think it may have been.
Right. I mean, that was the end of being able to dump it on us.
How do you feel about the current crop of potential IPOs?
Oh, they're just fine. They can wreck any market.
We've got, speaking of the market, we've got an opening bell coming up a few minutes from now. Stay with us on Squawk on the Street.
Ahead of a busy week of earnings, the bullish talk on trade regarding China over the weekend has futures up about 65 points. Opening bell in 7 minutes. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in just over 3 minutes. Busy Monday, as you can probably guess, given the headlines over the weekend regarding Brexit and that vote in Parliament. Boris Johnson now faces having to ask the EU for an additional extension. Good commentary from the Chinese premier. Substantial progress on phase one.
Yeah, I think that's... I was very surprised. That would seem to indicate that a lot of people came... Larry Kudlow came on our show. He said exactly what this man says. We believe the premier more than we believe Kudlow. I think that's a sad state of affairs. I believe Kudlow over the Chinese. I think that Larry Kudlow represents America and that America's telling the truth. And Larry, who, yes, is an old friend. I mean, what the hell am I supposed to lie? Larry got it right, but it really is interesting that we believe, oh, the Chinese, well, now we know.
A scarcity theory. The Chinese right, have commented true. Very minimally.
But the Chinese numbers have been the, by the way, everyone says they've got that 1,000-year plan, and they're about to go from 6% to 5%. It does feel like when I talk to a lot of the companies involved with capital equipment in China, it is the weakest part of their book. All I can say is that it seems to make a lot of sense, but that they're buying Brazilian soybeans hand over fist, it would make sense to throw a couple of buys our way, or at least make an approval of, say, NVIDIA and Mellanox. That's the one I keep referring. But right now, the Chinese, they are big talkers. They have big hat, no cattle. I'm waiting.
Kudlow did say this morning that there's a chance the December 15 tariffs could come off. That's a big if. But Goldman, with some comments over the weekend, saying even if they don't come off, as long as we don't see any additional tariffs, do not think the trade war results in a recession.
Goldman's right, but the president really kind of stuck his neck out and said, I expect big buys. This is what he said after Argentina. So I think that the big buys should be, let's say, in the next couple of days.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, you really believe that?
Yeah. Why is that bad?
Just wondering.
Well, the president kind of said there would be.
Yeah. Oh.
You're skeptical?
Only because I have reason to be.
Well, it's what Carl did ask me that a lot of people felt after the show. Jim, the reason why you don't trust Kudlow is this, as Carl said, you've heard it 1,000 times. I would just like to see a buy of something. Just a buy of, I don't know, a couple of tractors. I don't know. Something.
I think we can all agree Apples. That it's in a better place than it was a month ago.
Thank you. That's my point.
All right. So we'll just take it from
but
there.
If they
where
went
that leads, who knows? But at least it's gotten a little better.
Yeah. Well, it just seems it's lost that kind of acrimony. We haven't talked about the Doral yet.
Is the Doral?
I've stayed at the Doral. I think it's a shame that it's owned by. It was a great place to stay. But that was. It turned out to be ill-advised in the present.
Yes, I mean so. But it was the best place of all the
right,
places.
Right, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, I've stayed at every one of them.
To be in Florida in June.
And that place has got the best golf courses. I totally understand.
It's near the airport.
Yes!
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that he was thinking, hey, listen, that'd be good. I think he should have, I don't know, in retrospect, there was, it just didn't have the right optics.
That's for sure. Let's get the opening bell. And the S&P at the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. At the big board, Timothy Plan celebrating the recent listing of 2 ETF funds at the NASDAQ. SIFI Technologies, an information and communications technology company in India. We didn't get to the IBM downgrade UBS. They go to neutral on doubts that mid-single-digit revenue growth can be sustained.
Yeah. I mean, look, in the end, the old is overwhelming the new. I think we always kind of figured that the new, which is obviously augmented by Red Hat, would somehow at this point cross over and make it so that you wouldn't see about the old. But the old deteriorated rather rapidly, and there's no sign that it's going to stop. And that's why I think that people are giving up on IBM. They're just giving up on it.
That's a big statement, giving up.
Well, you can't.
Giving up.
Well, I mean, it can be the dividend. The cash flow is good. Mm-hmm. But look, I mean, you have Red Hat growing,
right,
not as fast as legacy decline. And so people are starting to realize, wow, if that legacy declines faster in the same base next quarter, then Red Hat still can't be enough.
Red Hat's, 19%, I think.
Right, so that's why. I mean, look,
it's impressive, but...
Look, I think Red Hat's fantastic, really growing at 20
x. But it's not large enough to offset...
No, it's not. And I think it's a shame because I think it was a very good acquisition, and the cash flow wasn't hurt at all. It's just that this GTS, this global... The service is kind of like Accenture. Mm-hmm. It's just not... It's got to be better managed. I don't know what to say. If they could get the decline in that one to slow, then you'd see the greatness of Red Hat. Because Red Hat was a really good acquisition. That's my point.
I mean, just more broadly,
yeah.
Morgan Stanley out again today with the warning on software. IGV had its worst week last week since August. Workday is all close to the lows for the year. The argument is, if corporate America is so nervous, maybe they don't trim headcount. They're not doing that yet, but maybe they do. Cut back on software spending.
I've gone over every one of those. It's interesting. Mark Mark Benioff had his big book tour last week. The core of Salesforce is still doing well. I don't know whether Workday is representative. I know that there was a downgrade a couple of weeks ago by Heather Bellini of CrowdStrike, which was just so critical in terms of its, Goldman Sachs, in terms of its timing. But yeah, that group has been the worst group. Atlassian reported a great number last week, profitable, Sybil TEAM. That's the one to watch if you want to think that there could be a turn, because that would be the anti-Workday. I'm still trying to get a line from Anil Bushri about how negative he really was, the CEO of Workday, because he immediately said in the next sentence that it's business as usual. Mark Benioff had good numbers everywhere, but that was now pretty far along. The group's still under pressure, and it's not going to be, you know, whether it be Okta, whether it be Atlassian, whether it be Zscaler, David, Zscaler, Zendesk.
Yes. How's Okta?
Okta's under 100 now. It's really doing quite poorly as a stock, but I think it's doing well as
As a company.
Yes.
Yeah.
Todd McKinnon doing quite a good job there in Cramer family fave Okta.
Got it. Guys, wanted to hit Netflix this morning. It's funny, the stock performed fairly well the day after the company reported earnings, but then it sunk on Friday, and it has sunk as well today a little bit on news that they're going to raise another $2 billion. This is in an offering of senior notes. It is going to be for general corporate purposes, which may, of course, include which may include content acquisitions, production and development, capital expenditures, investments, working capital, potential acquisitions, and strategic transactions. Acquisitions and strategic transactions.
Is that more than just...
Another $2 billion, both euro-denominated, I believe, and U.S. We don't know the terms as yet, but Netflix going back to the capital market.
Is that boilerplate?
As we know they need to, yes.
Is that, so the last three fundraisers have said pretty much the same.
Okay. Boilerplate. But, you know, Jim, the stock, I think back to where it was, if not below where it was before they reported.
Yeah, I know. That was a short squeeze. Everybody I know is waiting to hear those Disney Plus numbers.
The only place they are right now is the Netherlands. They've been testing it.
How's it?
I think it's going pretty well.
Really?
Yeah.
The Dutch like Daffy? I mean, what does that do?
Doesn't.
Right? Scrooge McDuck.
Right?
He was my character. You know that I patterned my life after Scrooge McDuck.
Well, I mean, Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck are Warner.
That's Warner.
Which, by the way, is a week from tomorrow when we get the rollout of the Warner streaming service. Wow. And that is actually where the next moment for Netflix could also be, and or Disney and so many others.
And by the way, Apple has a big premiere in New York Monday, a week from tonight.
Right.
New, I think it's a record high this morning, as Ray J has a street high 280.
Yes. I think that Apple, which is to own, not trade, has really delivered on the 11. I think that people are surprised at how good the 11 is. It's harder to get. They're talking about one week back order. There was a note out today about 1 week back order. I just think this is Credit Suisse. Apple constrained greater than 1 week to get the 11. If you go to buy the 11 in New York, you end up with a lower meg. I went at 9:30 at night. Well, I went at 8, got my phone at 9:30.
What'd you get? An 11.
Yeah, here. I got the 11, three cameras. You can take pictures of your dog in the middle of the night.
Look at that. It's got three cameras.
Three cameras. David, there's never been anything since Steve Jobs. There's been no origination. Now, there's a camera that you can take pictures
of. I need four cameras. So
four cameras?
Yeah.
So
you're going to wait.
I'm waiting.
Take a shoot around the corner?
I need four cameras.
What?
Cody. Why not? Stock's up
9%. Dave Cody?
Not Dave Cody. No,
because Honeywell's doing well.
Yeah, Honeywell is, but he doesn't run Honeywell anymore.
No, he doesn't.
That's Darius Adams.
And Darius got rid of the two low multiple situations.
He did. Yeah. He did. No, I'm talking about Cody, the beauty company. Soon to become even more focused on fragrance, cosmetics, and skincare. Why? Because they are now announcing this morning a strategic alternative or exploration of a strategic options relating to the sale of Wella, Clairol, OPI, and GHD. Just to let you know.
Who bought them?
They
private
bought Clairol from P&G in 2016. That's not that long ago.
No.
At least not for me. No. Maybe for some people, but 3 years to me is like yesterday.
Yeah, for the Mayfly.
Yeah.
So, what price
they bought OPI in 2010, but now they're putting them back on the market to try and sell them. They say they expect the proceeds from any transaction will be used to pay down debt, return excess cash to shareholders, and they align with Coty's previously announced turnaround plan focused on improving execution, better leveraging its assets, and delivering significant financial improvements. And after a thorough analysis,
right.
Not just an analysis, but thorough.
Well, aren't sure. You cynical?
Not as cynical as you are today.
No one's going to be
that
cynical.
That would be really hard. No,
that's because, yeah, I got had.
They have reached the conclusion, guys, that that even with its strong current performance, the future growth opportunities are increasingly outside the companies of the professional beauty business lie increasingly outside the company's core strategic focus. So that's why they're getting rid of Clairol.
That's pretty interesting because there's so many exchanges of these businesses going on behind the scenes. Procter & Gamble reports this week. Be interesting what happens.
Right.
You get a day where we got some Beyond Meat news. Dunkin' is accelerating the nationwide rollout of their Beyond Meat sandwich November 6th.
Well, I'm accelerating the lockup expiration.
I remember a day where this headline would have sent this stock soaring.
Oh, there's a lot of...
2% today, though.
A lot of stock there to be had. This is still an overvalued stock of a company that's doing really well. And I think that they got conflated during that period of greatness for the IPOs. And now it's turning out that there was just a sliver of stock that was offered. There are many.
We kept saying while it went up and up and up, what was the high end market cap? About 13 bills, something?
Yeah, remember when they did that really terrific, remember they did the secondary at 150 and went up? But Beyond Meat is a very complicated story because Impossible's out there. Tyson's doing one. There's a lot of different burgers.
By the way, we're going to get McDonald's tomorrow.
Yes.
And there's been some cautionary calls ahead of the print on stores. I wonder what you make of that. Whether it's Wendy's breakfast on the way or...
Look, I think Wendy's, when they announced their breakfast, was hit unnecessarily. And when I had Todd Penegor on, I thought the story was fantastic. And the market has embraced it. It's almost at its high. The word is over and over again that this is not a good quarter domestically for Easterbrook. I have seen no evidence that that's the case. But I want to go long in it. It's such a great company. You buy some before, maybe buy some after. It does the StockX terribly, but it is a great company.
We talk about Beyond, of course, being cut roughly in half since its highs. Cannabis also, Jim, broadly speaking, has been just hammered over the last number of weeks.
Yeah.
I know we've hit it here and there, but it is interesting how both these
POTX. The POTX has been just a magnificent place for people to short. One of the things that's really it killed this is that the lack of leadership at Canopy. They're still waiting to name a CEO.
Has it gotten rolled into the vaping crisis, too, at all?
Yes.
Must have, of course.
Yes, but, I mean, the POTX has gotten everything caught up in the vaping crisis, and anyone who has, like Cronos.
Right.
Cronos has vaping, and obviously vaping, we haven't even talked about Juul lately, about how much that's worth.
It's worth 90, as down from 300 this summer.
And WeWork is working, what, about 38?
WeWork?
Oh, nine. Sorry.
It's funny, actually. WeWork has been a little quiet.
I thought
we might see a deal there.
Yeah. Well, one thing is no one has disputed the size of the market of cannabis. But there's just so many players. And I think Lord Jones is the best brand, which is Cronos. But the fact is that even GW Pharma has been caught up. And that's one of the largest pieces of PO2TX. I expect that when Canopy announces that CGC has an actual CEO, that's certainly going to help them. Right now, 6.9, half the market cap is cash. Wow.
Well, overall, a strong market right now. The S&P up more than 0.5%.
We knew being too nice.
Strong. I mean,
Facebook.
Dow you don't want to pay attention to because Boeing is down over 4%.
Yeah.
So it's going to diverge from the S&P.
But I think J&J is trying to make a little stand here.
Yep.
I've been waiting for Reuters. Last week, the Reuters journalist who won the prize for the Knight Badge Hunt, which is the sign of tremendous credibility. She's the one who did the stories about talc. She's not been heard from. I would hesitate to buy the stock until she does a redux on talc.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Finally, the Journal saying the UAW may have trouble selling this tentative agreement to the rank and file. GM not doing too badly today, but that would be a nice thing to put off the burner.
Yeah, look, you got GM and you've got Boeing. They're probably two of the biggest engines in the U.S. economy, and they both stalled out. Yet things still hold up well. I think maybe that's a great storyline, that everything seems to be holding up well without the two most important job producers in the country. Rather incredible. I mean, I think this is a market that likes anything that it can hang on. Seattle Genetics has some positive news on a breast cancer drug. Stock goes up 10. I mean, the market likes to have any bit of positive news. Right? I mean, the market celebrates positive news.
Well, look at today. We're holding on to S&P 3K,
yeah.
And that's Dow's up 31 with a 100-point drag from Boeing. Let's get to Seema Modi. Seema?
Good morning, Carl. Yeah, the earnings are going to be the big focus here. 75 S&P 500 companies have reported thus far about 2% above consensus. The question is whether that will continue into this week. We have 122 S&P components, 12 Dow components reporting earnings this week. Industrials, with everything that's happening around the world, from trade war to the slowdown in China, that will be the key focus. Keep in mind, estimates for the industrial sector have come down from 6% in July to about a 1% here. So we'll have to see what happens when United Tech, Caterpillar, a lot of these names do report this week. It's worth noting that some of the industrials that have reported, Fastenal, United Rental, Kansas City Southern, they've actually beat street consensus. So the question is whether we'll get the same story from some of these global industrial names like Caterpillar and 3M that have underperformed the market over the past 6 months. You'll see 3M shares down nearly 25% in the past 6 months. Take a look at shares of Alibaba. The company saying it expects more than 500 million shoppers to participate in Singles Day on November 11th. That's 100 million more, guys, than last year. So the Chinese e-commerce company really trying to quiet down those fears of a slowdown in China and a slowdown in the Chinese consumer. Shares up about 2%. And a tale of two IPOs that we're watching this morning. Pinterest, upgraded by RBC Capital to outperform. Peloton, upgraded by JP Morgan, and both stocks are higher in early trade. But take a look at a longer term chart that really tells you the story. Pinterest now trading 33% above its IPO price, while Peloton is down about 19% from when it went public on the 25th of September. But despite this mixed performance that we've seen in the IPO space, we have eight companies expected to go public this week, including Progyny, which is a fertility startup. We have BRP Group, an insurance provider, and Youdao, that is a Chinese education startup. This, as Casper is reportedly planning to go public as early as this year, hiring bankers, according to a report from Bloomberg. Guys, sending it back to you.
All right, Seema, thanks. Seema Modi. Let's get some more movers over at the NASDAQ this morning with Bertha Coombs. Hey, Bertha.
Good morning, Carl. We've got Apple once again moving higher here today. Ahead of its earnings next week, Raymond James up in its price target to $280, maintaining it at an outperform. You have, as you mentioned, seen a lot of these analysts get a lot more positive ahead of Apple's earnings next week. They are expecting to get some pretty good numbers. As Apple has moved higher, that has been what lifts here. And it also has moved higher in terms of market cap last week, topping Microsoft once again. Both of those north of $1 trillion, but Apple now with much more of a lead as Microsoft has fallen back along with the rest of the software group over the last couple of weeks in terms of its performance. Microsoft will be reporting earnings this week, so we'll see if it gets any momentum off of that. Chips last week hitting an all-time high, just shy of that now, but continue to be a force this morning. They are the biggest gainers. Among the leaders there include AMD, Micron, and NVIDIA. We'll start hearing from more of those chip makers, but it's the chip equipment makers that have really been on fire. Lam Research, AMAT, a lot of those have been hitting new highs consistently. So as they move forward and the chips continue to move forward and our fears of the impact of Chinese tariffs seem to be waning, we are seeing that sector in the lead once again. Back over to you.
All right, Bertha, thanks. We'll see you in a bit. It is a big week for Mark Zuckerberg. The Facebook CEO is set to testify Wednesday on Capitol Hill for the first time since answering questions about Cambridge Analytica about a year and a half ago. In an exclusive interview with NBC's Lester Holt, he defended the platform's policies and addressed the public perceptions of the company.
I get that a lot of people are angry at us. Part of growing up for me has just been realizing that it is more important to be understood than it is to be liked. And I believe it very strongly. And I do think that people can make up their own minds about me or the work that we're doing, but this is who I am.
Meantime, he goes to House Financial Services this week to talk about Libra, which, yeah, Jamie Dimon last week said a neat idea that will never happen.
Well, I never go against Jamie Dimon. It's really been a fool's errand. I think the idea had some merit, but there's some big companies that pulled away. Jamie Dimon is the king of the industry, and if Jamie Dimon says it's not going to work, it's very hard to make it work, because now I think Washington's going to take their cue from Jamie, not from Zuckerberg. Even though I think Zuckerberg's done a lot of things to try to make himself different from what Mark Benioff said here when he equated him to the jewel.
So they should just give up? That's it?
No, it's okay.
Jamie just said it now.
No, you can go ahead.
Marcus, whoever it is, he should just stop.
No, you can't. You got to finish it out. But a lot of the companies have withdrawn support for it. I thought it was a good idea, but what does it matter?
Have withdrawn support.
But don't you think that play? And then Jamie says no. And yeah. So, you're going to get castigated in front of Congress. That's never fun, right? Just kind of take your beating and go
put
elsewhere.
It away for now. Come back another day, maybe.
Well, I don't know. Identify it as a cryptocurrency, just like many others. Say it's the Facebook cryptocurrency or the cryptocurrency. The cryptocurrency.
Bitcoin is still around, and Jamie didn't seem to have much time for that.
No, but I just say here's a cryptocurrency that I think has more transparency and is done by blockchain. If you don't like it, that's fine. But you're going to get forced to have cryptocurrencies that are underground and much more Capone-like. So we should. That's his narrative. If he wants to go with my narrative, that's fine. Doesn't cost him anything to use the correct narrative that I just gave him for nothing. God, I've been giving people free stuff all morning.
We'll learn a lot more later in the week. When we come back, Boeing is under pressure and keeping the Dow from even further gains, down almost 5%. We're going to talk to the former CEO of Northwest to discuss the 737 MAX. Meantime, look at the movement in Treasuries today. 10-year tries to get up to 1.8. We're back in a moment. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Really good note today by Morgan Stanley about how Advanced Micro, which they reports, by the way, October 29th, it's going to have a really good quarter. Still taking share from Intel, saying that maybe they have the remarkable position of being able to not have to spend a lot more money and be competitive and not be ahead of both NVIDIA and Intel next year. I think it's a really positive note. Lisa Su's doing a fantastic job. And stock holds up very well during this period. And I think it could go to new highs.
Jim, what's tonight?
I've got a company called StockX, and I don't know if you guys know this, but this is probably the single most exciting thing going on out there, which are the exchanges, these private exchanges, sneakers.
What do I want to exchange on them?
Well, you want to do clothes, you want to do sneakers, okay. You want to do anything.
Got it.
Now, I want to know, do you know that Dan Gilbert, I wish him the best of luck, and I wish I could see him, because he's behind a lot of these.
Who is he?
And he's a great man.
And he'll help rebuild Detroit. Yeah.
Yes.
Jim, we'll see you tonight.
Yes.
Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern, of course, as always.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.